So we've got the legislative session that's coming up, and we know that there are going to be hundreds of bills put forward. We know that it's a short session, so what effectively is going to get passed? It's, I guess, time will tell, right? But we consistently hear sort of the same, I'd say, hot-button topics, really year after year. One of them has to do with energy, our energy costs, and what can we effectively do to bring the bills down, but also give people the best chance to have the best electricity and all and energy and all of that. So we consistently have been checking in with, I call him our energy guy, but his official title, if I have to use it, is Bryson Hall, who is the Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance. And I keep having Bryson on the show because I think it's important to kind of keep tabs on what's been going on with our energy stories here in Connecticut, but also when we have a session like this, what can we effectively do to make change? So Bryson, welcome back. How are you?
Always a pleasure to be here. I am great. How are you?
I'm fine. I mean, I'm very excited for the session. I always love session time. I really do.
I think session's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to going and seeing. I'm not sanguine that a whole lot's going to get done, but certainly more than last year, probably less drama than last year would be my guess. I'm not sure there's any great ideas out there. I heard some intelligence that Representative Steinberg is going to have a bill, but he said it's his last session. And this was at a meeting with a bunch of environmental groups.
Interesting.
Last session, which some people interpret it as, let's not mess around. We don't have much to do. Don't get too ambitious. I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm ambitious always. I think it's good to be hopeful and realistic. So,
well, and why delay what has continued to be a huge problem? Why wouldn't we use this opportunity to at least come up with even small solutions?
I think there's a general lack of understanding of policy. It's complicated. It's hard. It's nuanced. But it's not without precedent elsewhere. So if you bother to do homework, and I think the legislative staff knows some of this stuff, if they were willing to hear some new ideas, they might be able to do something. One easy new idea, we have something that no one knows about that's not even the public benefits charge. It's the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. So that collects about $58 million last year, and it goes to PURA. And PURA then spends the money as it sees fit to do. I don't know those random. My favorite one was the nonprofit accountability group, right? Which is doing God knows what and is run by the Sierra Club in the back end. So that's what your money is going to pay for. So maybe we could just, I don't know, return that to customers. Say, hey, rates are high. Here's $58 million. Let's do that.
Wait, so is that part of public benefits or what? That's a separate thing?
Even better than
that.
Why
are you laughing at me?
I'm laughing because it's so hilarious. That right. It passed in 2009. It's some random NGO in New York. And there's a bunch of states that are in this around the country, from this side of the country. And Pennsylvania just pulled out of it. They were like, nope, we're not doing that. New York does it. So they all split their money up and they get it back and they do whatever the hell they want. But it's this random non-governmental organization that determines how much we get taxed on the back end. So that's $58 million that could go back to customers. I'm sure that would help my mom. That would help, your mom, whoever, everybody that needs a hand with their bill, right?
Right. Well, and it's funny that you say we need new ideas, because obviously, again, we're hearing for a renewed push, especially from the Republican Party, to get rid of public benefits. But it just seems like all we do is have those two sides of not agreeing to what we want to do with that. And we've talked about the arguments on both sides and everything. But, this other, what is it called?
Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, also known as REGGIE.
REGGIE.
Among the nerds.
Where would I see REGGIE pop up? Like, is that on my bill?
It's not your bill anywhere.
So where?
It probably lives in the fees somewhere, but like that's like arcane stuff that I'm
not
an accountant. I think you need to be a forensic accountant to find it.
Well, I don't know. This is why I call you the energy guy, because I bet you most people have no idea about REGGIE.
I unfortunately know these kind of weird things, but it just makes me a little perturbed because there's always a tax, right? So I was having a conversation yesterday about New York. They don't even know in New York how much money goes into their bills. Like even people that are experts don't know. And it's like 40%.
That's kind
of
alarming.
Bill. It's terrifying.
It's very alarming.
Terrifying? They're what do they call it? The climate leadership something protect CLCPA. Their big signature climate bill. We're going to be whatever percent net zero. Blah blah blah. Great headline. Totally impossible to do. Right? Impossible. The cost of that in New York State is $7,000 a year for 25 years for every man, woman, child, dog, cat, monkey in the state. Now, the governor yesterday, Governor Hochul, said, maybe we got to back off of this. And then the environmental crowd comes and says, no, you can't do that. But like, can we just, get back to reality and realize people are not going to pay that and can't even pay it?
Well, and again, if we're not even transparent about it or letting people know that we're grabbing that money from them, at least give them that. You know what I mean? Instead of the, to your point, having kind of just these, you know, I'd say conversations where it's like, just very blanketed. So you've got environmental groups that are saying, hey, you can't take away from that because then that means you don't like the environment. It's like, well, that's not what's happening here.
You're clubbing baby seals.
I'm just, right. Well, but you know that that's what happens.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have to be honest. I think I've told you this, Bryson, and I know I've told you at home this story, but one of the most telling conversations I have had off the air with Governor Lamont was I was at a state event. This was last year. And I said to him, I don't understand why we can't just have a very civil conversation, not me and him, but I said, lawmakers, if we could just put the D's and the R's away for a second and we could just sit and talk about the public benefits. I said, it may not save you a whole lot of money. I said, but please help me to understand this, Governor Lamont. And I always use this example. I said, on WICC, I am an Eversource customer because I live in a town that or a city that has Eversource. Our afternoon host, Paul Pacelli, lives in a town that has their own energy. So he doesn't have Eversource or UI. I said, in 30 years, when we all have to have electric vehicles, why did I have to pay for our charging stations, but Paul didn't? And the governor's reaction was the best I've ever seen. He goes, well, when you say it like that, I don't know. And I'm like, then why can't we talk like that in Hartford? Then why can't we talk like that? Just out of fairness, forget about just the money aspect. Why wouldn't we say, wait a minute, this is not fair?
It's not.
Period. This is not fair, but we're going to. But the argument is always, oh, well, then you don't want to go green. Well, no, it's not that I don't want to go green. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is it's just not justified that some people pay into this and others don't. That alone should be enough. But it's not a conversation that is going to go anywhere. It hasn't. It hasn't proven to gone anywhere.
The problem is you have a very organized bunch of people that all speak from the national level on down. They all speak from the same hymn sheet, right? And they're just like, you're clubbing baby seals. You don't agree with us? League of Conservation Voters, they all, it's check, check, check. Do you agree with this? Blah, blah, blah. If you don't, go to hell. That's not okay. That's not our American democratic tradition. That's not our Connecticut tradition. I always tell you, I'm a Connecticut Yankee through and through. Since 1790, my people have been here, since the first census. We are swamp Yankees from the river. We figure stuff out in this state. We can't, that conversation is the exact conversation we need to have. And it needs to be a hard conversation. Like, listen, guys, you've been trying to tell us you're saving the environment and you've done nothing except raise our costs. You haven't saved the environment. You know what saved the environment in this country? Why we are for 22 years now, I think it's 21 or 22 years, this nation has reduced CO2 by more than any other nation in the world. We are the biggest emitter, right? Want to know why? Because we moved to natural gas from coal. Bingo. So it gets cleaner every year and still we're dying. Al Gore, it's like the 20th anniversary of his, An Inconvenient Truth, his little bogus movie. I'm like, hey, guess what, Al? The glaciers are still here. They haven't melted. And I think I saw something the other day that had a picture of Al Gore, like with a hairdryer trying to melt the glaciers, right, to prove that he was right. So we've been fed a lie. It's just a lie. And it's a lie that I always go back to this. What does Al Gore do? What does he do now? He runs a $38 billion fund, which in its original prospectus with a guy, I kid you not, David Blood of Goldman Sachs, Blood and Gore, in the original prospectus said, we are going to invest in clean energy technologies that are legislated into place. Meaning, we're going to have the laws made and we're going to invest in that. And we're going to make money. So once you see that cycle, you know, this is a money game, right? And the money game is a transfer of wealth out of people's pockets. And there's like an omerta, like the mafia, like we don't talk about it. Can't talk about it, but that's the truth. I mean, we're journalists, right? By training head heart, those are the facts. You're taking money. Public benefits charge is taking money from my pocket, your pocket, putting it elsewhere into programs that have nothing to do with energy. No, not okay.
Right.
That cost? Get the hell out of here. And then the elected leaders have the gall to go kick the utilities and say, look, it's your bill. Beautiful thing here. I always say Marissa Jolette's best and only good act in this state was making the bill transparent so you know exactly where your costs come from.
But that, I think, if anything, that just enraged, I think, bill payers more. Because now they're seeing it. And even, again, I think at the consumer level, it doesn't matter what their political affiliation. I mean, when you've got tens of thousands of Connecticut residents saying, I don't want to pay this, I want no part of this, it's very hard to ignore it. But it was essentially ignored yet again last year.
Well, we were too busy with the cult of Marissa Jolette and the fanboys down there. And you know exactly who I'm talking about, which the leadership, unfortunately, just wasn't providing leadership. I don't think, I hate to say this, I'm perpetual cynic, terminal optimist, but not sure they're going to do much this year. Not sure. And they should. People deserve it. So that's the disconnect. Yeah. You have people that are busy talking to themselves in the same five environmental groups, and they're not listening to people of the state who are shouting, change this.
We are chatting with Bryson Hull, who is the Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance. But Bryson and I connected, I'd say, over a year ago.
About a year ago.
And I just think his brain understands energy, and it makes me understand it a lot better. And obviously, I also think it's just something that's very top of mind for the average Connecticut resident. And so we're going into the legislative session. So you mentioned Reggie. Reggie's got to go.
I think so.
Okay. What else do you think has to go?
I think the public benefits charges, if anybody were serious about it, it's a tax in any other name. And that really should be legislated out. And those policies that are, not policies, but the programs that are...
The initiatives that it goes to.
The initiatives that go with it, they're all wish lists from one side. And they're not approved by most people in this state. So maybe we just take those off.
Well, so I'm glad that you said that, Bryson, because one of the things that really was interesting to me was, I want to say it was in I don't remember when it was. It doesn't matter. When Governor Lamont decided that we were going to pause our electric vehicle, I'm not going to call it mandate, but that process
that was in California?
Of
that was December 24th.
That's what I thought. Okay, so around this time last year, when he announced we're going to pause this, and mostly it was because Trump had been elected into office, and he was like, "We're not going to get anywhere for another 4 years. We're going to pause it." That was around the time that I said, well, then why are we going to keep funding in full the public benefits? Because a lot of that money is supposed to go towards building our infrastructure. But if we're pausing it and we're not going to focus on it, why would we keep paying for that? And there was really never an answer for that.
There's never an answer because, I mean, what's the saying in Washington? There's never, you show me a government subsidy, I'll show you something that won't die. Like, they never go away. So the whole thing was a subsidized program. And again, a very socialist thing. It's a very socialist thing to have the government saying, this is what we think the market, the free market should be, is you should buy this much, you should sell this many cars. Wait, what?
And especially when automakers are like, no, I don't think so.
How much money they've lost from it.
Right.
Like, Ford was bleeding money from it. And Mary Barra at GM, you know, she's real good with wherever the wind goes, right? She'd do whatever the hell political wind was going. They lost money. And guess what? You know what people want? They want trucks with engines. They want pickup trucks. They want SUVs. So once that went away, I think that should have been the wake-up call to be like, we're done. We're done with stupid stuff. Let's go back to like letting the country work the way it's worked for a long time, which is the public decides what they want to buy. They pay for it. You saw Tesla just shut down two models, right? I don't think this is a four-year thing. I actually think people don't believe the nonsense they've been hearing for 20 years from the environmental lobby anymore. I think they just realized. The other problem people have, I saw a really interesting poll. It's not a problem. Well, it is a problem for Americans. The number of independents in the country is polled at the highest level ever. People just are tired. They're tired of the nonsense on, you know, they're tired of the nonsense. And from whatever side you come and say Minnesota, right? It's, you look at this thing as a journalist, you're like, wait, this is actually what happened. What we're seeing on the news isn't what happened. We're just seeing one partisan version and one partisan version. So people are tired of that. So with that tiredness comes, can you do something for us?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do something for us? So that's what my call to the legislature is. Do something for us. Get rid of this. Take this out. You know, whatever public benefits you need, the public benefits, I don't have an objection to giving a little bit of extra money to help people that can't afford.
Right. And but I even hate that because as soon as I push back, it's like, oh, you don't care about it. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. If you look at that breakdown of where that money is going, it's not all going to people who cannot afford their energy. And that's not what we are talking about. And that, again, is just a scapegoating people who are just pushing back. And I think that's wrong.
100% wrong.
That's wrong.
And then you're looking at, you know, you're trying to build the infrastructure out, right? So that's exactly what utilities do. That's what they're best at. So that's where they get their return on equity, which is their version of a profit, which is regulated, right? So the state says, PURA says, all right, you can get at the most this much back. Maybe, I don't even know what it is in the state. But if you then go and do what happened under Marissa Gillette, which is keep cutting rates, then you end up shortchanging the grid, the ability to build the grid. And now that we see what she's been doing since she's been out, which is basically going after the regulated utility model and trying to reduce the ROEs, what is that doing? Where's that money go then? Who's building the grid? Where's our reliability? You can't have the grid fail in the winter. People are going to die.
Right.
So why are you doing that?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Now we know what she was up to here. It's out. She put out this hilarious Substack. Like, this is what we should do. And trying to explain to people, like, she was also saying that legislators should intervene in rate cases. How about you get your policies right, then give us a call about rate cases? And even legally, they can't really do it unless they have actual standing. right? Like, you're a customer of this area and you're personally aggrieved, then as a legislator, you can come in. But why should a legislator be in a rate case?
Right.
That's the job of the regulator. All these dumb ideas need to go and be burned. And that starts with the public benefits charge. Break it out. Take it off of our bill. Let's get back to realistic stuff. Let people check off if they want to help poor people. That's perfectly fine. But most people can't afford it. It's just going up. Faster than the rate of inflation. The rate of inflation has come down since 25, but it's still pretty high.
Yeah, it really is. So we've got Reggie. We've got public benefits. And I've only got 20 more seconds. Is there anything else you want them to look at? Or we could just start small. Let's start with those two things.
Let's start small with those and just be optimistic that they'll actually do some work instead of fooling around and going gaga over Marissa Gillette or whomever.
Okay. All right. Well, Bryson, I know you're going to be kind of going up to Hartford a few times during the session, but will you keep coming here? Because I need to keep talking to you.
Anytime you call, I will
Perfect.
Be here.
I appreciate you. Bryson Hall, thank you so much for what you do. Again, Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance, and he's our energy guy here on WICC. Thanks, friend. Appreciate you.
Thanks, pal.